This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Culture and Society. We shall close with the news for young people. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis has called upon members of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal International Service to share their experience as witnesses and promoters of peace and unity with others in the Church, beginning with their parish communities. The call was contained in a message the Holy Father sent to the members on the occasion of their Jubilee pilgrimage, which took place here in the Vatican this Thursday, April 3rd. The Pope expressed appreciation for the group's desire to dedicate itself not only to the Church, but also open itself to her universal dimensions, promoting and supporting the intentions of the Pope, especially for peace and reconciliation. This experience, the Pope noted, is not meant for them alone. It is for everyone, and encouraged them to share it with the world as a source of hope and peace. He reminded the members of the Charismatic Renewal that the Holy Spirit is the source of communion, harmony, and fraternity in the Church, and therefore can grant true peace to human hearts, which is necessary for overcoming conflicts in our families, in society, and among nations. The Holy Father thanked the members of the Charismatic Renewal for their closeness and accompanied them with his blessing. On Thursday, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolini, received an audience the President of the Republic of Estonia, Mr. Aral Karis. A communique released by the Holy See Press Office after the meeting said they held cordial discussions that focused on the existent good bilateral relations, noting the positive contribution of the local Catholic community to Estonian society. They also expressed appreciation for the upcoming beatification of Archbishop Eduard Prostlich, a Jesuit martyr who will be the first blessed of Estonia. They discussed also regional and international issues, with a particular reference to the prospects for the end of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The Catholic bishops of Cameroon have issued a pastoral letter calling upon the citizens to vote in the presidential election scheduled for October this year. The bishops note in the letter that many Cameroonians have lost confidence in the electoral system and in the leadership of the country, and therefore don't see the necessity to vote. Despite the prevailing situation, the bishops are inviting Catholics and Cameroonians of goodwill not to resign themselves to indifference driven by despair, but go to vote, underlining that elections are an opportunity to bring about change if they are free, fair, and transparent. They call upon the government and the Electoral Commission to organize a transparent vote and to respect the will of the people. The current president, Paul Biya, 92 years old, who has ruled the country for 43 years, has expressed his intention to stand again. If he wins, this will be his eighth term of office. Members of Caritas Rwanda concluded their 28th General Assembly at the weekend in the capital, Kigali, with a resolution to strengthen resource mobilization strategies and to explore new ways to increase fairness. A report released this week by the charity said it would invest in the improvement of service delivery in the church's approved health facilities and also build a chapel in each of them to support the spiritual care of patients and their families. The president of the charity, Bishop Anacleti Mumvaneza of Nyundo Catholic Diocese, invited members of Caritas to be united in their work, particularly at this time when humanitarian interventions are increasingly challenged by reductions in external funding. He urged them to increase their capacity to support the poor. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Torit in South Sudan, the Right Reverend Emmanuel Bernardino Lowi Napeta, has issued a statement condemning the recent attack at the Church of Our Lady of Assumption Parish Lower in his diocese by a unit of government troops. According to the statement, the soldiers, without prior notice, opened fire, killing one civilian and injuring another one. They also shot at the window and the walls of the residence of the priests. The troops subjected church workers and residents of the area to intimidation, threats, and questioning. According to a South Sudan military source, the soldiers were on the hunt and the killing mission of troops loyal to First Vice President Riek Machar, who is now under house arrest in connection with the current military and political crisis in the country, but mistakenly targeted civilians. After discovering their mistake, they carried away and hid the body of the civilian and covered the blood on the ground with soil in order to destroy evidence. Bishop Napeta said in the statement that the whereabouts of the body are still unknown. The bishop has called upon South Sudan's security agencies to respect church premises and places of worship and has demanded an immediate release of the body of the victim to the relatives for mourning and decent burial and for a public apology to the Catholic Diocese of Torit for the attack. He has also called for a thorough investigation into the incident. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The military leader of Guinea has set September the 21st as the date for a constitutional referendum in a potential first step towards returning the country to constitutional democracy. Colonel Mamadi Doumbouya seized power in a coup in September 2021, ousting President Alpha Condé a few months after winning a third term. The following year, Mr. Doumbouya proposed a two-year transition to elections, but then did not take steps to organize a vote. The government in Conakry missed a December 31st deadline that the military authorities had set for a return to a civilian administration. In July last year, the junta presented the draft of a new constitution which may allow Mr. Doumbouya to participate in the next presidential election. Mediators sent by the African Union are in South Sudan's capital Juba for talks aimed at averting a new civil war after first Vice President Riek Machar was placed under house arrest last week. The AU's delegation includes former Burundian President Domitien Ndayizeye and former Kenyan judge Efi Owuor. President Salva Kiir's government has accused Mr. Machar, a long-time rival, of trying to stir up a new rebellion. The detention of Mr. Machar last Wednesday followed weeks of fighting in the northern Upper Nile state between the military and the White Army militia. The first vice president's forces were allied with the White Army during the Civil War, but deny any current links. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Carl Chan for Sight and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyan Tagodufri Kampamba. In this edition today, a focus on the wanting and deteriorating situation for the populations of Sudan, where a civil war rages on. On 15th April 2023, the power struggle between army commander and de facto national leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and his deputy Hemedit, leader of the heavily armed paramilitary rapid support forces, erupted into a civil war, starting with the battles in the streets of Khartoum. A few days later, 400 people had been reported killed and thousands more injured. All this was taking place despite the ongoing hunger afflicting much of the country. To date, both the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces are accused of committing war crimes. And while the war raged on, the United Nations World Food Programme that was on the ground reported the fact that more than 95% of Sudan's population could not afford a meal a day, and more than 8.6 million people were forced out of their homes, while 18 million people up to today are facing severe hunger. 5 million of them are at emergency levels. Philemon Hemeda is the emergency coordinator for Caritas Sudan. Speaking to Vatican Radio recently, Hemeda explained the fact that there is a serious humanitarian crisis in Sudan right now. He began by talking about the displaced populations, especially from the capital Khartoum.
Sudan has been ravaged by the civil war, and the war started in the capital. So people moved out of their homes without any property, without money, without job, and they move out of the of Khartoum, the capital city of Sudan. So facing a huge humanitarian challenge. So most of these people were accommodated in the schools in the cities around Khartoum, and their needs a basic humanitarian needs like food, water, and shelter, very basic needs. They have taken refuge in the schools because there is no where they can be accommodated, like those who move from out of Khartoum to wide United States. They are in a big number, and the local government here facilitated their accommodation by accommodating them in their schools while the schools were not functioning.
Hemeda said that Caritas Sudan is working together with other humanitarian organizations in the country to try and help the displaced populations.
We provided humanitarian aid together as a part of a humanitarian community here. Caritas provided food items to the people in the schools. They give a package to each family. So though it's not enough, but we have been providing that. And then we have also provided cash for multiple purposes for those who are also accommodated in the schools. And we have provided also cash to hard-rich areas. And these hard-rich areas are like people in Khartoum. We supported like 12 parishes in the two dioceses of Khartoum and Al Ubeid, and the parish priests were able to also to use the cash we have transferred to them through bank to support their needy in the parishes. Like in Khartoum, there's what they call a common kitchen or a common place where they cook food and distribute to anyone who can come and find something. So some of beneficiaries go to these places and find some food. And those who go to parishes, the priests are able also to support them.
Sometimes aid from Caritas Sudan is in form of packages that include a number of life-saving types of foodstuff that is distributed usually in difficult-to-reach areas.
In the package, we have rice and flour, sugar, salt, and oil, something of this kind. Maybe I've missed out something, but it is mainly food and these items I have mentioned. It is difficult to reach because of war, basically. A few months ago, the road was blocked. You can't come from Port Sudan up to White Nile, where I am now, because in the middle there was a rapid force, and you can't travel to Khartoum from White Nile to Khartoum, because in the middle there is a rapid force occupying some areas there. And these areas have been now reoccupied by the government forces. And now the road to Khartoum is accessible. And the only problem nowadays is there is fighting inside Khartoum between the two warring parties. And government is now recapturing the places which were before captured by the rapid force, like the main military garrison and presidential palace, and many areas are now recaptured by the government. So the presence of the government now is in Khartoum, and people are trying to go back, but still is not safe.
The Caritas Emergency Coordinator recounts the problems Caritas and other NGOs that are operating in the area are facing. He narrates two practical stories that impede their work, but also stories of the suffering people that encourages Caritas to even work on.
Once we were registering people in order to provide cash, and it was a turn of one woman, and when I asked her, "What's your name and where do you come from? Where are you? Where were you displaced from?" And then she said, "I was displaced from Jebel Awliya. Jebel Awliya is an area in Khartoum." And I saw tears falling from her eyes. She told me four of my kids died in the bombardment. And at this moment, I was really touched. I couldn't go on with the writing the data down. I stopped for a while, and I said to her, "Sorry, this is the situation of war, and just be patient, and things will go all right." So we provided cash for those for the single the women. The woman was part of the community, and we supported them. This is one story. And second story, it was a story of a mother of a disabled child. She was displaced. Her husband was not with her. I don't know. She said she doesn't know where he is now. And she was carrying the disabled child. She was mentally disabled, a child of... like 9 years old, and she said she has no income, and she has some treatment for the disabled child, and she has basically nothing to depend on. So I registered her among the people who were to be helped, and when we were able to deliver cash to them, she called me. And she said, "Thank you very much for Caritas. The little I have received helped me very much with my disabled child. And now I'm able to access a few needs. And thank you very much for Caritas." And this was a feedback from her, and I appreciate it because she recognized the support given to her, and she was able to say thank you.
In conclusion, Hemeda says Caritas is appealing to the international community to come to the aid of South Sudan and help in any way possible.
Considering the real situation of Sudan, because Sudan now is in a great need. The majority of people of Sudan now, they are not able to produce, and they have no job, in source of income. So it is high time if the international community is willing to mobilize the fund for the people of Sudan, that will be of of a great humanitarian support. And if they could also support Caritas Sudan to reach out to the people in need, that will be of a great support. But I assure you that the gap is so big. Many NGOs are trying to support, but the gap is big.
That was the Emergence Coordinator for Caritas Sudan, Philomen Hemda, speaking to Vatican Radio recently about the seriousness of the humanitarian crisis in Sudan right now. And that is all we have time for today in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. The church in Nigeria is stepping up efforts to engage young people to live their faith in today's world as part of a drive to promote synodality and a new evangelization. Special programs have been designed for them. Our correspondent Delphine Asu recently caught up with the National Youth Animator in Abuja to learn more about the initiatives. She now reports.
Reverend Father Boniface Idoko occupies the position of the youth animator at the Catholic Secretariat of Nigeria. The courtesy visit provided an opportunity to analyze the programs targeting the young people in the church. According to him, the programs have been scheduled to take place in the course of the Jubilee year.
We insert trainings and workshops into some of the national meetings, which will be attended by leaders from across the diocese. We also organize special training. For instance, one of the trainings dear to my heart, which is here now, is what we call Love Revolution. And it is third soul, serving others under love, serving others under love soul. And the purpose is to fight against the modern trend in our society where young people are becoming very brutal towards fellow human beings. The quest for wealth and materialism have led many of our youth to become inhuman. So this program is aimed at training to reorientate the young ones to become kinder, to love, to channel effort towards service of humanity, that they may become more humane. So this training is supposed to be for 3 days. For now, because of logistics, we are looking at 50, and these 50 are coming from across the country. What we did was to send the information online and ask interested youth to register. And more than 50 actually registered, but we screened for 50. And the others that we couldn't take, we told them they are on the pending list because we are raising money locally, sourcing money for accommodation and feeding and other materials. In the month of April, if we have the capacity, we are going to carry on another similar training. But it's meant to train youth corps members, our NACC, who are in service. We are intending to train them as evangelizers, and of course, evangelizers of hope. So the training is that SHINE, sharing hope in new evangelization. We are targeting about 100 corps members, and we are looking at them as we're training trainers, people who go and spread this vision of new evangelization to give hope to people who are living in dejected and depressed situations.
He further elaborated on what is expected from the young people who will participate in the SOUL program. He also shared a bigger dream that will truly equip and keep the youth engaged.
Each of these participants will be expected to form a soul community wherever he is coming from. Our follow-up program will be to go and have such training with those small communities. The intention is to make as many youths as possible soul ambassadors. And these people will be the pilot group From them, we expect step downs to the various provinces and dioceses where they are coming from or whatever state. And we expect them to live out our values. The new orientation received, where in their personal life, they should be able to tell people there is need to be humane. It is good to be kind. We should love people unconditionally. We should live in peace. By living the values, they should ordinarily attract their peers. And our follow-up program should help them to grow. We have bigger dreams. One of our bigger dreams is to have a youth hub where we'll be able to gather youths and give them access to facilities like internet facilities where they could learn a lot of tech projects and if possible go to the extent of robotics and whatever they can learn so that they will not only be carried away from the heat of hopelessness in the society, they will become useful to themselves, useful to the society, cause a means of sustenance for them and the country. It brings about development and then productivity. We're also hoping that such hub we have skills training where those who are not formally educated can learn skills. And then from there, maybe we'll have startup kits for them for sustainability. We're thinking and hoping that we may be able to get sponsorship or funding from somewhere that this will come to be. We don't know yet. We are praying.
In Abuja, Nigeria, Delphine Asu reporting.
And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In your next program at this same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Development and the Economy. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.